Kelly has already reminded us, if it hasn't dawned on you, today is September 1st. It's something of an end. It's an end of the summer. Kind of the end of the pool season. What, tomorrow or Monday, something like that. Last night it dawned on me, I think it's the end of my hopes for the Nationals this year. They teased us with that series against the Marlins. There was talk of hope and something turning around and catching the Cardinals. But Jim, thank you very much. And look, he's wearing the shirt. That was not an accident, was it? You were probably thinking about that for a couple days. Yeah, 2 days, yes. If you're not up on that, it's the Mets who have, I think, dashed the any hope we had as a National for a pennant or a place in the playoffs. And the Mets did it. But it's also the end, in a sense, of our time in this letter that a man named Pastor John wrote to his people that he was shepherding in Asia Minor. It's kind of the end of our time. We come to the conclusion of his letter as we look at it today. But it also occurred to me that this is something of a beginning at the same time. It's the beginning, as Shelley's talked with us, of a brand new school year. Our youngest daughter, Anna's headed into middle school, sixth grade, first time. There's a level of anxiety, as Shelley said, that we live together because we are connected, we're family. There's a level of anxiety there for that this first year. You might be experiencing that. It might be your first year in a high school. It might be your first year in this grade you've never been in before. Beginning of a school year. It's also the beginning of our church year. As we gather together as a family of followers of Jesus, week after week after week after week, this begins our church year in a lot of ways. We'll be talking about that more later. But kind of hopeful it's the beginning of something of a Redskin run. Not giving up hope completely for sports in D.C. Just hoping that with RG3 back and Arakpo, and those guys, people being healthy, Merriweather being back, safety, that there's going to be something of a new fresh start, that something's going to happen on the Redskin front. But as we come to the end of John's letter to us today, I'm praying that ending is what we often call a commencement, that the ending is something of a beginning. And that we, as we listen to John speak to his people in the churches that he pastored in Asia Minor, that we would hear the Spirit of God speak to us in an unmistakably strong and clear way. As John concludes his letter, that we would hear him speak to us in an unmistakable way. Two words, I think, two actions, really, more than words, two lifestyles, two patterns of our life, however you want to look at it, way more than just thoughts. I see coming forward in a pretty strong way in these final verses of this letter. The two words are simply this: know and pray. Know and pray. Seven times in this relatively short passage, John is moved by the Spirit of God to use this word, no. He's used it quite a bit through this letter, but seven times in these verses, no. Twice, right after the no, you'll see he says something about ask, pray. So John is saying to this that this knowledge that he wants us to know should have this natural impact of moving us to pray. It's like we can't separate the two. If we know these things, we will pray. But the knowing is important to think about for just a moment. It's not just knowing cognitively. It's not just understanding some facts. John uses the word believe. It's that this knowledge has transferred to something that we say, no, that's true. And I know it's true, and the trueness of what we know moves us to prayer. Somebody once said that we don't act on what we know, we act on what we believe. So in some respects, you can judge, I can judge and evaluate and estimate the significance or the level of my knowledge and my confidence by how it's actually playing out in my life. If it's not playing out in my life in real tangible ways, then there's got to be something of an honest assessment and of where my belief is. 1 John 5, 13 down to the end of this letter. John says this, I write these things to you who believe what we just spoke about in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know, have a confidence, have an assurance that doubt is overcome by this confidence and assurance, that you would know that you have eternal life, abundant life. We've spoken about this before. It's not just physical life. It's not the movement of our lungs. It's just not the passing of air in our lungs, nostrils. It is the abundant life that comes with knowing Jesus. This is the life that John is speaking about, Zoe life, not bios life. And this is the confidence that if we have Jesus, we know Jesus, simple yes to Jesus, as best we understand it, we have this life, eternal life, beginning now. It's not something that starts after we die. Eternal life, something that is full and vibrant, happening currently, now. And this is the confidence, again, this sense of knowledge and confidence. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask, here's the prayer correlation, the connection, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know, the second time, that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know, third time, that we have what we have asked of Him. If we know something, we will ask. If we believe this amazing truth about life is found in Jesus and only in Jesus, if we know that, we have a confidence of that, that will show up in how we speak to God, how we pray, and what we pray about. Verses 16 to 17. If we see a brother or a sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. A little challenging to understand. As we've heard, some of these letters are like one-sided conversations, phone calls. We get to hear one side. We're not really sure some of what is understood. So what is this sin that leads to death, this fatal sin? Not entirely sure. There's thinking here, though, that the audience that John was speaking to was an environment in a church that people were speaking heretical things about Jesus, things that weren't true about Him. And that was causing a division, and they were actually leaving the church. We've spoken about this for several weeks now. John does not mince his words when he speaks about these people that were in this community, not speaking truth about Jesus, saying that they were really questioning His humanity. And they were causing all kinds of dissension. And they were actually leaving, but not really leaving. They were still kind of in the area, in the community, and speaking. And it was just, and so the thought is that John is saying that if there's such a sin and an error in their life that they're not recognizing Jesus, who He is, and fully, and they're leaving and they're going. There's something of a prayer priority is how I'm looking at it. Don't worry so much about spending a lot of time praying for them and what they're doing. You have brothers and sisters in your midst. That's the priority that I want you praying about. That's who I want you to pray about. If you see a brother or sister sinning, it's not walking according to the way of God, and you know it, it's not really even questionable. You know it, then pray. You have a responsibility, he says, so you should pray if you see a brother or sister commit sin. It's not leading to death. Not fatal. More questions about that we can talk about if you'd like. Verse 18, he closes up. John says, we know, there's that word again, that anyone born of God does not continue in sin. It's not the pattern of their life over a long course of time. The one who was born of God, and in my translation, I think it's right, and I love that the one is capitalized. The one who was born of God, Jesus. The one who was born of God, Jesus, keeps them safe. And the evil one cannot harm them. We should know that we are the children of God, and we know that we are the children of God. And that the whole world is under the control of the evil one by God's sovereign. Yes to that. And we know also that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, a phrase often used through this letter, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from organizing your life around any other reality than the person of Jesus Christ. Put Him in first. He's the organizing principle. Things fit around Jesus. Jesus doesn't fit into another organizing principle if we have time, if we can make it work for Him and His realities. John is saying, watch out. And the message, Eugene Peterson uses this phrase, he calls these idols clever facsimiles. They're clever approximations. Be on guard about those. Know, so pray. Think back over this. John says, know that you have eternal life. Let the Spirit of God just work that in your mind and heart to another level, maybe a fresh level. You have abundant life if you've said yes to Jesus, full life. You know that the God of all creation answers your prayers, that there's some connection between when you pray, the God of creation and His movement in this world. There's some mysterious connection there. Know that. Think about that. The confidence and the assurance you have in that. Think about the family responsibility John speaks about. If you see a brother and a sister walking away that's not right, if you see that, then pray. Jesus keeps us safe. Doesn't mean our kids will never get hit by a bike like Karis did. That's not what John is guaranteeing. That there will be no ever physical harm. It does mean that they are safe for all eternity in relationship with Him. There's a safety there in Jesus. There's a warfare that has been won. And there are clever facsimiles out there, idols, that we can have a knowledge and an awareness of being yes, having said yes to Jesus, that can help us steer our course into life and not death. That's what you and I know if you have said yes to Jesus. That's what we know. And that should translate then into prayer, into seeking Him. I'd like you to write down three words next to that word prayer, right after that at the top of your notes. Specifically, urgently, and consistently. I'd encourage you to, as I have this past week, thought about my prayer life in relation to those three words, consistently, urgently, specifically. Doug, you crossed my mind at this point. Doug Everhart, actually, this past week. Doug does woodworking in his basement. Fine woodworking, a number of different things. If we got word as a church family that something happened to Doug in the wood shop, we would pray. We would pray specifically for whatever injury that was. We would be concerned. We would pray specifically. We would pray urgently. especially if it was a fairly significant injury. There would be something of, yeah, God, please get Doug back, help his finger to get reattached, something like that. No, there would be an urgency for the physical well-being of our friend because we know and we love him. And there would be a consistency to that. You would not stop praying for Doug until you had some level of confidence that there was some level of healing. So it makes sense to me that specific prayers, urgent prayers, consistent prayers should characterize our prayer life. So keep that in mind. So now we move to the working part of this message. The Apostle James says, don't just hear the word, but be doers. Follow through in some way. So what I'd like you to do right now is just in that top left box of that spreadsheet, top left corner, just write His will. Top left box. Uppermost left, farthest left, highest, His will. And then down that first column, I'd like you to write 6 or 7 names of friends of yours here at Christ Community or in a church that you might be from. Josh and Ash, you do your church in Indiana. If you're here and these are the first 6 or 7 are friends that you know have said yes to Jesus. They're in this church and you just care about them. Just take a moment, see who the Lord brings to mind and write some names down, or initials, or who is it that you know and care about here, or the church family that you're most attached to? Just 6 or 7 lines, not the whole thing. 6 or 7. Now, I'll give you a moment or two on that. You can follow through on some of this afternoon as well. You have to keep moving just a bit. For the next 6 or 7 lines, write down names of your neighbors, our friends that you go to school with. They might have said yes to Jesus. They might not have yet. That doesn't matter. It's just they're not a part of the church family here or the one that you're most attached to. Just think about that. It could be neighbors. Could be colleagues at work, friends at school. 6 or 7 names for them. Reserve the last 3 lines for the next. Stop with 3 lines left. At the 1, 2, the top of the third line, the third line from the bottom, right? Christ Community Church or your church home. Wherever that might be, right? Christ Community Church. The second line down, write the council, the leadership here. And then the third line, the last line, write the annual meeting, September 15th. All right, now across the top. In the first column, second column, write the word growing. Growing. The third column, I'm calling the first column His will with all the names. That's the first column. The second column is headed by growing. The third column is headed by the word connected. Growing, connected, and then the fourth column. Am I completely confusing you at this point?
No, keep going.
All right, good. Last column, fourth column, serving at the top. Serving. And if you want to do a little V beside serving, think of 2 arenas of serving. Very, very important here. Serving. Christ Community Church or local church, but then write community too, neighborhood, community. So when we think of serving, it's not just local church, its community, its neighborhood. So this is what I'm suggesting that you adopt or bring a freshness to. I know many of you pray consistently, urgently, specifically, but if this helps in any way, shape, or form, so begin to think about the people that you just wrote and how you could pray God's will, because this is God's will. John said if we pray according to his will, we know he hears us and he's moving, and this is where he's going to be moving. We know it's God's will that people are growing in Jesus, that they know this life in him, and that there's a vibrancy to that life. We know that's his will. We know the third column, that it's his will that people are connected in a tangible, vibrant way. There's connection. Read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. These are not isolated themes in the New Testament and the Scriptures. The whole past of Scriptures speak about the importance of growing and being connected as a body, as brothers and sisters. And the last is serving. Completely. We are on a mission. We are to go. We are to serve this body. We are to go and be missionaries, not just here, to our communities, our schools, ambassadors, missionaries. These are not isolated, debatable issues. These are God's will, summarized in three ways. You could summarize it other ways, but this is a way that we're thinking about it this year. So, pray for these people consistently, specifically, urgently, these friends here, that they would be growing, that they would be connected, that they would be serving. Pray for them. Pray for your neighbors and friends, that they would come to know Jesus if they haven't. They would know life. That they would grow in him, that they would be connected, whatever church that might be. If that's another church, pray for that. If you know they're going someplace but they're not really connected, pray they get connected in that church. Pray that they would get a place of serving. Just pray specifically, urgently, consistently. We're going to put this into practice, as I said. I've asked Toby and Lauren and Lisa to pray for our students. But before we do that, Benjamin, would you pop down here? So you students, you could come down. Let's maybe over here. And Brian and Austin, we'll use these. So if you're a student, but first of all, Benjamin wasn't able to be here when we gave out the Bibles that we give to students moving into middle school. So we needed to take just a moment and just say that we are, one, Benjamin, you can know we're going to be praying for you heading into sixth grade. So we're just thrilled, and congratulations for finishing elementary school so well. And we're going to be praying. So, yeah. So if all students would come, children and students, you're in school, come on down, because we're going to pray for you. If you're in middle school, high school, elementary school, come on down. Lauren and Lisa and Toby. Come on down, come on, get close, and then... And we got to fill in. We got to come on in, move this way. Keep coming, keep close. Get close. And then, let me get the mic for you guys. Excuse me. One, two, three. All right. Here you go. You guys might. Yeah, we'll do that. Toby's our pastor over students. Lauren's our children's ministry coordinator, and Lisa's our person for children's on council. So they're the ones that are praying. But before we do that, I want a visual here. Would you get up and just move closer? Just stand with these students real quick. So they sense that there's a physical covering. Come on, just and move forward real quick, and then we'll move back. Come this way. And agree with Toby and Lauren and Lisa as they lead us. I forgot one good idea that was mentioned. If you are a Bob and Liz, are they in here at all? If you're a teacher in for the kids or students, just raise your. If you're going to be teaching this next year, all right, we got. Yes. Bob and Liz Simmons are. They're out getting our lunch ready for us. So, all right, thank you. Lisa. I think it is. Yes, yes.
Father, precious Lord, hear our hearts, Father, as we stand before you, your throne room, with these beautiful children, your children, whom you love, whom you bless, whom you desire to come to you. Lord, how excited the moment is now. New classes, new books, new clothes. And yet too, Lord, we are anxious. We are nervous. Father, calm our fears. Fill us with your holiness, your Holy Spirit, so that every moment we are confident and assured and happy to be back, Father. Fill the children, Lord, with your excitement for a new beginning. Fill them, Lord, with peace, a sense of safety, Lord. I praise you, Father, now, in this moment, for all the glorious things you're going to do this school year with our children. I pray a hedge of protection, Father, around the children coming to and from school, around the buildings, around the teachers, Lord, pure hearts, pure motivation, beautiful learning, loving, and living together in community in each and every school. I praise you and thank you now for the rest of the school year, Father.
Father, I thank you so much for how each one of these kids have touched my life and touched this church's life, and how they are such a part of it, God, and examples to all of us of what it looks like to live in your kingdom and to usher in the reality of heaven on earth, and that they are such a part of that, and we can learn so much from them, God. I pray, Father, and ask you that as they enter into new schools and sometimes scary surroundings and new situations like college and applications and kindergarten, God, that you would just be so present, and that in their anxiety or in their joy or in their sometimes scaredness, God, they would know you are there. They would know you are so present with them, and they would hear that truth in their minds and in their hearts, God, every day that they enter into these buildings, that they are your beloved, that there is no one else like them, God. And they would just come together, Father, and lean on each other and press into your Holy Spirit and enter in to the community of pure love that you offer, Father. And it sounds a little hippie-ish or weird, but it's so true, God. Your love, your pure love that we can enter into, that we can give back to each other. I pray that they would experience that they would grow in their knowledge and love of you, Father, and for your safety over them as they enter into all of these places and as they come home to a place that's safe, and that they would just enter into that rest in the newness and freshness of this coming year, in your precious name.
Father God, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for the gifts that you have given us, Lord. And we thank you for the freedom we have to even go to school. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would give these students eyes to see where you are working. Lord, eyes to see one another. God, as they are burdened with the pressures that they have on themselves, Lord, pressures that have not been put on generations before them, Lord, that they would look and see the pressures of those around them, Lord. God, that they would see the people sitting next to them as people who are broken as well. Lord, that they would learn to lean into where you are working. and share the amazing love that you have for the world to those around them, Lord. That they would not be people who condemn, that they would not be people who judge, that they would not be people who are critical or who are hypocritical, Lord. But they would love the world as you love the world, Lord. That they would be a light in the darkness. God, we pray this, Lord, that the most important thing about them, Lord, is their character and not their achievement. God, and I pray that that is so important where we live. It is not about what they have and what people say about them, Lord, but it's about who they are and who you say that they are. God, and I pray that they would know that full well, Lord. And I pray as they achieve more and more, and as they learn more and more, and as they study harder and harder, that they would pursue knowledge of you at that same level and that same depth, that they would hunger after your word and after an understanding of you. And I pray that they would long for a deeper community. And I thank you so much for the community these students have here. And I pray that they would lean into that and they would hold tightly to that. And I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. You may head back to your seats. I've asked Raman Brangman to come up, and he's going to speak to us about the second season of focus of prayer here, and that is related to our connections here, and that we would see God move in a real tangible, strong way about His Spirit connecting us in authentic, viable, real ways, relationship-wise, friendship-wise. He's going to tell his story and then give you encouragement. And then close in prayer just before we come to the communion table. This one?
Good morning, everybody. All right, so connecting. My family is here after coming from Bermuda about 7 to 8 years ago. We're here at this church because of connections. And when I thought about, a pastor asked me to mention about the connections and our personal experience, I have to say my story is one of connection here in this church in a very powerful and amazing way. So I'm going to spend a couple of minutes just talking about how that connection happened. Jim and Jerry Lee, and I need you guys to stand up so everybody can see. Come on, stand up. Every time I think about how God has ministered to me over these past 3 years that we've been here at this church, I think of these two and their faithfulness to God. And, you know, it is such an amazing relationship that we shared with them as their neighbors. We moved into Ashburn Village, and they were our neighbors. And Jerry Leon sent James Clay over with some brownies, right, James Clay, you remember? We had just moved into the neighborhood, and they welcomed us into the neighborhood with their love. You can sit down now, thank you, but I want you just to think about that, because they were doing all the things that God wanted them to do at that time. They were reaching out to us. They were showing love. They also were having, Jerry Lynn encouraged my wife to go to women's Bible study. And also, Jim and I like to play drums and music together, so we were hanging out. He was encouraging me to try to come to the church, and they were doing home groups every Friday night at their house. And for 2 years, they invited us, faithfully invited us to come to their home group, and we kind of said, nah. Friday nights is our family night. We were good. We didn't need to disrupt that. And so we held back on connecting, but we did connect with them through the ministry of Jerry Lynn and my wife in the Bible study. As a result of that, we were struggling to find a church home for those years. 2 years later, we decided, why not go back to a place where we feel like we've already been connected? And so we came to CCC for the first time. After 2 years of my wife being in a Bible study with the women here, we started to attend the church here. And it's just been one amazing blessing after the other. Right after that, of course, guess whose home group we wanted to be part of? The Berettas. So we joined their home group, not knowing that God had a sense of humor. He was going to push us into the home group spotlight. And I'll tell you a little bit about that real quick. Is my wife and I have, up until that point, never entertained anybody. Family, nobody. Nobody's ever come to our house. We never cooked dinner for anybody outside of our family because we just weren't comfortable entertaining. It really was who we were. And then suddenly, we were asked if we would host home group. And I was sure that my wife had already said no, but for some shocking reason, she didn't say no. She actually said yes. And so we ended up, for the first time, hosting. My family have all been blessed as a result of the fact that we actually tried doing it. And so now we've learned that God has gifted us in that area of being able to host. So there's so many other stories I could share with you about it, but let me just tell you about the things about being part of our home group, and this is where I'm going with this. Outside of the Berettas really bringing us together and connecting and doing the things that God wanted them to do, we have been impacted significantly by Joe and Amos Good, who Joe has sown a lot into our lives through these books that he constantly shares with us. And we have been learning about the power of prayer. My life has been transformed, literally transformed, by the blessing of his ministry into us, sowing into us. And I really appreciate that, Joe, a lot. Jim and Ruth Reed have taught us the value of family because we haven't had any family out here. And Ruth knows that she's our adopted mother. So they're part of our home group. The Jollies have constantly shown seeds of encouragement, and they have this thing of pushing us into service. So Heather has consistently pushed, Heather and Bill have pushed us into different areas of service, worship, and Heather has the humor of inviting me to be a home group elder. So now I'm here because of some of that pushing and urging. And so everyone in our home group has impacted us in a pretty powerful way. The Kagies were here for a while. Rod and Joy, you remember them. And they instilled in us the value of having the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that prayer can be a lot more powerful than just speaking to God. But God could do the supernatural through that prayer. So I'm really pleased. Let me think. There's a couple more I don't want to miss. So John and Kate, these guys have been such an encouragement to us in how they reach out to their family and want everybody to be connected to our home group. So they've been such an encouragement. But we've learned, and the Foltzes, who are not here right now, when I talk about unconditional love, that's what we get from them every Friday night when we get together. They share the love of God with us. There's so many blessings in everybody that we've connected with through this home group. And I have to tell you that, I just stand in awe of what God has done through this church. Now, that's just, I haven't even talked about disciples, where I could go next door now. They're our next door neighbors. And I could go next door and share anything with Perry and with Carol. We have a strong connection with them now. All of this has been because we've opened ourselves up to this. Pastor talked last week about being an island, being a rock, being an island. That was who I was before I came here. I'm just so grateful to God that I'm no longer a rock and an island, but my prayer life is now praying for you and for other people, not just me. And I am looking to see God do wonderful things through this connected church. Now, that was just the stories that I've had in my home group. the stories go much, much broader than that in this broader church community. The people here are amazing. If you are not connected to them, I encourage you to. I'm glad Pastor mentioned earlier about looking at about six people that you can connect with, but I would say there's not a person in this congregation that you shouldn't really want to connect with, because there's so much that God has for us when he brings us together. So that's my, I told Pastor I couldn't do this in 3 minutes, but I tried to do it as fast as I could. So we're going to break into a prayer time now, but I was reminded of Mark 11, where Jesus, I think you remember the story where Jesus pushed out the gamblers and the people that were betting in the church. And he made a comment that he said, my house will be a house of prayer. My house should be a house of prayer. Not a den of thieves, not a place where you just come together to collect, to have a great time, but it should be a house of prayer. So the first thing that we're going to do, as pastors talked about, is really focus on our prayer of being connected, praying that God will have his way in our lives. But not just a prayer, but he also talks further on in verse 24 about whatever you ask, you should also ask believing that God will do it. And so we're going to ask, but we're also going to add our faith to that request this morning. So I would ask if you would, do you want to have people come forward?
No, if you would just pray for...
All right, we will just pray from this place, but I want you to join me in prayer as we pray for our connectedness. Father, we just thank you right now that you are this amazing God. You created everything. That makes you not just God of the natural, but you're God of the supernatural. And Father, we want to experience all that you have for this church. We want to experience all that you have for us. So God, right now, I pray that you would convict each one of us and challenge us in our own personal lives, where we become islands, where we become rocks, and we're so used to the society telling us, stand on your own 2 feet, be your own person, don't have to connect with other people. Father, we're praying that you will teach us through your love the importance of connection with each other. I pray, Father, right now that whatever reasons that have come in our way in the past for connecting, that, Father, right now you will bind those things in the name of Jesus, and that we will be open more and more to doing those things that will encourage us to connect. Specifically when our busy schedules get in the way and we think, you know what, I'm too tired to get out to connect. Father, we pray that you would build in us that strength and that energy and even give us that drive to want to go and experience it just because your love says we should do it. Father, we pray for the love for one another that would grow so strong that we would want to be in each other's company more and more. We thank you, God, for this church community that loves on us, that cares about us, that encourages fellowship, just like having our lunch later this afternoon is encouraging us to be together because our pastor and our church leadership understands the importance and the value of that connection. So, God, I pray that as each person thinks about the people that they're praying for, as they think about the schedules that they have, their busy lifetimes, the children and all the events, school year with all that entails, pray, Father, that you would still give us space for you, space for prayer, space for connecting together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.